You're listening to Football Special, the definitive Donegal GAA podcast.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 3 of the Football Special podcast. I'm joined this evening by Alan Foley, Frank Craig, Chris McNulty and Damien Dowds. Well, a lot of water has travelled under the bridge since we last recorded. After that, we had played two games of the National Football League, winning one and losing one. Since then, we've played four games, winning one and losing three. And I think it's fair to say that we haven't really learned a lot, and there's not a lot of positives to take from what we have seen so far. Alan Foley.
We haven't learned a lot, Kieran, but maybe the way that Jim McGuinness and Rory Gallagher are playing it, I don't think any of our opponents have really learned a lot. I think the Donegal system is kind of famed now, but I suppose at a time of the season when they're really trying to build up fitness, it's very hard to play the system as they do. And a bit like we spoke about the Kerry game before last season, Donegal, they're maybe just doing a bit of shadow boxing at the minute, because I suppose the likes of the teams that have beaten us of late, they're the guys we could run into later in the championship, so I wouldn't really press the panic button just yet.
One thing that has been pretty evident, especially in the losses, I think, to Tyrone and Cork, were that we were playing teams that definitely seemed to want the game, want the win more than we did. And that maybe is indicative of how other teams are approaching the league, Damien.
Yeah, I suppose it's All-Ireland champions, you're there to be knocked down. Like, and particularly for the likes of Tyrone, who had a number of defeats too at Donegal's hands, both in the championship and the league. It was very important to them to get it. You could see what it meant to them. At half-time, the schmuzzle before half-time, and Murphy sending off, and I think I was over in the stand for that game, and the Tyrone fans were on their feet acclaiming the team at half time as they came off the field. So they were really, really up for it, and it was only the league. But that's the way it is. I think Donegal, like, they really don't want to be progressing too far in this National League. I think, as well as not showing too much of their hand at this time, I don't think they want to be getting into a league semi-final or anything like that.
So, God forbid.
Yeah, they're not playing like they want to get into a league semi-final, and they're just trying, I suppose, just to do enough to remain in Division 1 without going into the league semi-finals. And you'd have to say that on the moment, I think mathematically, if we were to win, it's possible to get into the league semi-finals, but it's not very likely, I don't think.
Chris?
Yeah, I think what Jim is maybe trying to do is sort of try and get the points tally down to a fine art that we finish in those positions where we're not relegated and we're not in a semi-final, because of course were we to get into a semi-final, it opens possibilities of playing Tyrone in a competitive game, maybe what would we be, 6 weeks out from the championship. So I think it's avoidance of that scenario pretty much at all costs, so trying to maybe finish fifth or sixth and get that, as I say, down to a fine art. But I suppose we have seen a few worrying signs and stuff, but as Damien mentioned about Tyrone, and I noticed it as well about the Mayo people last week, it meant a lot to beat Donegal, because there was a lot of hurt for them from the All-Ireland final. And when they were, I think it was the end of Varley, the sub got the last 2 points, Mayo people were on their feet, really, really celebrating it, and I suppose we look at the reaction of Donegal people to the wins that we've got, it certainly hasn't meant as much. But as All-Ireland champions, when teams take that scalp, it does mean something pretty significant, albeit at this early stage of the season, all right?
Yeah. I mean, I was listening to News Talk during the week. I think the Off the Ball show is generally all the worse for losing the lads. But they had the usual GAA pundits on, and Conor Deegan, Frank, spoke about Donegal running about with a degree of arrogance. I mean, I haven't really noticed that. I mean, what's your take on that? Do you think we're strutting around the cock of the walk at the moment?
Definitely not, and I don't think our league form would maybe even warrant that there. But I suppose as All-Ireland champions and ambassadors for this county, I would certainly be very pleased with how Donegal's accorded themselves so far, in this, I suppose, as All-Ireland champions. But just going back to Alan and Chris and their point just about the season itself, the GAA calendar is a strange sort of calendar, and I think you probably have to tiptoe through it the first 6 months or anyway. I mean, it's well documented that the McKenna Cup and the Sigurdsson Cups were the bane of any inter-county manager, and especially Jim McGuinness. And I think even the league now, the National Football League, has to be tiptoed and maybe tolerated rather than embraced if you want to be there come May for the second 6 months of the season for provincial and All-Ireland championships. If you want to be winning and competing in them, you probably have to have that caution coming through the first maybe 6 months, January to May.
I mean,
I don't think it would be the end of the world if we did end up in a league semi-final. I mean, there's nothing to say we couldn't field a strange looking team in that one if we really didn't want to win it. But one thing that's interesting about Donegal in the league especially is that we're losing games, but we are playing more or less our first choice 15, and we're not using a lot of players other than Ross Werty and Ryan McHugh. Declan Walsh, of course, is there by necessity pretty much because Carl Lacey's been injured. But we haven't seen a lot of new faces. We have seen most of our big guns play a significant amount of time. And, you know, a lot of the time these guys seem to be carrying injuries. I mean, is that a concern coming into the summer that we haven't really maybe found any more depth in our panel?
Yeah, I think at the start of the year, though, Rory and Jim would have said really they only wanted maybe two or three more championship players. I think last year even we really only had maybe 20, 21 at a max championship players. I suppose you had the 15 lads that started the final. David Walsh and Christy Toy were good impact players. Martin McElhenney, Brick Malloy played occasionally, and Declan Walsh had a few games. So I think the whole priority from day one is to get one or two, which could be up to championship form. And Jim was quoted there during the week as saying maybe Ross Werty or Ryan McHugh could be maybe not thrust in from the start, but they're getting experience in the National League, and that's the bottom line. And Jim tends to rate it at that point every single week.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I suppose one worrying aspect was last weekend was that, you know, Ross Werty didn't start the game, was brought on and then taken off again, which doesn't really, you know, reflect well for his confidence, I would say, if nothing else.
It was an odd one because he had done particularly well and probably had improved in every game as well, isn't it? And you know, to be dropped at the start for whatever reason, I'm sure the management knew what they were doing. Bring them on and then subbing them was quite harsh on as well. But look, Division 1's a very unforgiving place, and you know, Donegal have a squad of 30 and 30 plus players, like, but it's not really a division where you can experiment too much with fringe players. And to have got two new players, two new faces in Werty and Ryan McHugh coming through from the league, I'd say McGuinness and Gallagher would be pretty happy with that. I mean, they're not going to be men that's... It's unlikely that they're going to be starting against Tyrone or in the early stage of the league, but they've done enough in their league games to date to suggest that they will be able to come in and do a job in the championship, perhaps as subs to start off with, and they could be challenging for a team and pushing the players ahead of them as well.
Like, if we look at, say, the likes of Kerry and maybe even Down, you know, who are missing significant players, and Kerry certainly probably are experimenting in that they're resting players more so, where Down are forced to play their hand by injury. We've seen their results. So, as you say, Damien, it's an unforgiving division. I mean, out of all the teams in it, really, I think only Dublin are the ones that can probably afford to put out what's close to a second-string team and still appear very competitive.
Yeah, I suppose squad depth is something that all counties, maybe bar Dublin, are suffering from. But I suppose one worry is, you know, we look at the injuries that we've picked up and the changes that we've been having to make. Last week, like, of a substitutes bench of 10, we had, I think, one recognised defender within that. So, you know, for a squad of 33, when we can put out a bench of 10 players and there's only one player that you would class as being a defence-minded player, then it is a bit of a worry. And for us, I suppose we have found Ross Werty and we have found Ryan McHugh, and you know, the two lads have shown that they can compete at the top level. But when you look at players maybe that we've lost from last year, and that Christy Toy and David Walsh are in the long term injury bracket, I suppose maybe they're only compensating for their losses. We haven't got any more as in physical numbers that we can use. And players that we've tried in the league, like Matthew Smith, Thorne McNeilis, Gary McFadden, played just 16 minutes between them. Marty Boyle has played 32 minutes, hasn't played since the first game of the league. So, you know, there is a worry that if anything happens, any of our marquee players, or even those three, four or five subs that we talk about as being championship subs, then there is a worry about the ability or the capability of these other guys. You know, when they're not being thrust into international league, could they handle the heat of Ulster Championship? We don't really know. And, you know, would that be a risk that Jim and Rory would be willing or would want to take, you know, come the summertime? Like, last year we were pretty lucky with injuries, and, you know, we got Michael Murphy back for the second game of the championship and stuff. But we look this year, you know, we're picking up maybe more of the niggly injuries that are keeping men out for 2, 3 and 4 weeks. And, like, when Neil McGee went down last week, you know, we were looking, saying if Neil is out long term, who goes in? Eamon McGee is our only other option, I would suggest, at fullback. Like, and God forbid if we had to go further into the reservoir, I don't think we have another player in the squad who could play at fullback.
I understand the point Chris is making there too, and I definitely agree with it. You know, if you did lose, as we said, the likes of Neil McGee, that was a big concern last week, and even Carl Lacey coming back. Now, I know last year the likes of Michael Murphy was missing, but he came back, and I know he wasn't going at full pelt, but in the forward line you can afford to have somebody that has that kind of presence and aura and still gets something out of them in defence, unless you have somebody like Carl Lacey and Neil McGee going at 100%. And the concern between now and May 26th would be how much training Neil can actually do, and even Carl coming back into it now, he obviously hasn't benefited from the hard slog that Donegal will be doing in the next few weeks, and you simply can't afford not to have the batteries fully charged when you have the likes of Stephen and Neil and Sean Cavan and these boys coming through the middle. So that definitely would be a concern, the strength and depth in terms of defenders in a way.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say between the 40, I think we're probably okay. We have a lot of players who can play in that position. But if you look at our full back line and our full forward line, we're very reliant on the starters we have. You know, and again, look, maybe that's a concern for most counties. And we're no different in that regard.
Yeah, I suppose, but Carl Lacey, I think it was 2009, was away travelling, and he came back maybe in late April, and we were worried that time about him. He's ended up winning an All-Star, so I know the circumstances now are different with injury and that, but I think if anybody can, Carl Lacey can.
Yeah. Although, at the same time, that time in 2009, there was a few players, can't think off the top of my head, but there were maybe three or four players who started that day in Balbuffet against Antrim that had played nothing, had pretty much done no training. Carl was back from a few months travelling. There's a few other guys who were thrust in against Antrim, and, you know, we all know what happened that particular day. But I suppose a player like Carl Lacey is back doing, I think, light training and stuff, so I don't know, maybe, I suppose the only worry is maybe competitive action, and I suppose we've, you know, I know players sit out club games and stuff, but I think we'd all like to see Carl featuring at some stage over the next month four Masters.
That's how I'd see it. I mean, you know, until you see him back, you don't know what you're getting.
Well, I think every county, as we said, bar Dublin, has that their issue, that they've the three or four, I suppose, marquee, or not even marquee players, but important linchpins that you have to have if you want to be successful. But then it's a double-edged sword. I mean, do Dublin really know what their best 15? They're talking about A and B games and training, and it'd be very interesting to see how many of their under-21 All-Ireland one side from a few seasons ago have graduated into the senior ranks as opposed to our losing All-Ireland finalists. Be an interesting stat, but at least Jim knows what he has. He has that 20-22, whereas Dublin are chopping and changing, and even the guys that are Dublin will be fielding in Balbuffet on Sunday week, I mean, those guys will be chopping at the bit because they want to prove their manager that they're good enough to be in the team. So that's going to be a very tough league game. I suppose people are saying that Dublin have qualified for a league semi-final and they'll be travelling to Balbuffet, maybe not going at full pelt, but I don't believe that there.
Yeah, no, you have to figure with the panel of players they'll have, whoever they'll put out will be chomping at the bit to make an impression. And again, it's against the All-Ireland champions, you know, so I'm not taking that game for granted at all.
Kieran Whelan made the point in the paper that their A and B games are going to be tougher than some of the games they get in the summer. And I always like to see Kieran Whelan maybe talking up Dublin because it usually ends up with egg in his face. But hopefully down the line that'll prove to be the case.
Yeah. Damien, out of the four games we've played, I think the last one against Mayo was the most concerning because play seemed to be very sloppy. It's been said to me, and I thought kind of the same myself at the time, that this perhaps looked like a team that had upped the intensity in training recently and maybe was suffering as a result of that. It was interesting to know that Donegal were given the week off after that game. It was planned anyway, so maybe, you know, that was to compensate for something that had gone before it. Some of the players played club games tonight and will play this weekend. So maybe Jim McGuinness is having to time this differently this year because we have to hit the ground running on the 26th of May, whereas in other years we could build up to it because we didn't have such a tough start.
Yeah, I would imagine there's something like that going on. I mean, they will be looking to try and peak for that game against Tyrone and then try and do the very difficult double peak again for maybe later in the year. Like, it's a very difficult thing, but we have good men in the backroom team there. And look, against Mayo, you know, we persisted with, you know, pretty aimless long ball into the full forward line that just wasn't working. That was a feature of the game against Cork as well. And, you know, I get the impression that that's not something that we would persist with in the Championship if we found that wasn't working. You'd see Rory Gallagher out in the field calling the changes a lot more swiftly and a lot more quickly than we have here. They really are just, you know, they're just playing with they're playing within themselves, and there's an impression, and maybe we're clinging to straws here because we're all Donegal men, but it's like we're keeping the cards close to our chest, and that we're not letting anyone else see what it is we're working on. You know, the difference between Donegal 2011 and 2012 wasn't all that pronounced, really. We knew what we were trying to do in terms of attack in 2011, and we did enhance it a wee bit in 2012, although the overall game plan was more or less the same, just we were executing a wee bit better. You can be certain that there's another string being added to the bow for 2013, and it's not going to be shown in the league, and it's not going to be shown against Dublin next time either. So we're going to have a big debut for that in the game against Tyrone and Balbuffet, hopefully. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because year two of Jim McGuinness, we didn't really see the progression of last year, I think, until really the Derry game in the Championship, which was the 16th of June or something. So, as I said, I think there was little glimpses against Down. There was kind of very fast hand passing, breaking here and there. That was nearly
second
the only
half,
game
certainly.
Which saw a little change in Donegal. Aside from that, it's been very orthodox, I suppose, is the best way to call it.
Just, I suppose, if you look back at last year's league, the game against Kerry, we came off the pitch and Jack O'Connor, I think we were beaten by 16 points, and Jack O'Connor talked about how he had pretty much beaten the famous system, and that, you know, the way to beat the Donegal system was how Kerry played that day. A few months later, we went to Croke Park with the same 15 players as had played against Kerry, and we beat Mayo in an All-Ireland final. And very much like what the boys have said, I don't think we've seen any of the system as it's been termed, you know, and we're pretty much 15 against 15. And as Damien said, like, some of the mistakes we're making, if they happen in the Championship, the guilty party would be hooked pretty much right away, because Jim and Rory aren't players that aren't managers and coaches that take those sort of risks in Championship football. And if something isn't working in Championship, it will be changed. And, you know, last week against Mayo, you know, there were some things that Donegal were doing that I don't think we'll even see them attempt to do come the summertime, you know. And I think it pretty much is just a case of keeping the powder dry and trying to peak for that Tyrone game, and almost then take the peak down a level or two and hopefully have to raise it or have the opportunity to raise it again a few months later. But, you know, certainly now we're doing things that I don't think we have a hope in hell of seeing in the summertime, to be honest.
Like, yeah, I came away from Castlebar thinking, God, this is as bad as we've ever played under Jim McGuinness. But, you know, it took Chris to remind me, you know, I was there, that, you know, we suffered a considerably worse defeat against Kerry. We were, you know, beaten by a considerable margin by Dublin and Croke Park last year in the league. We could have been beaten by a lot more against Laois in Letterkenny. And other than the Tyrone game, when, you know, we were a man down and there was a sense the game was getting away from us. We were losing by 7 points at one stage, and we came back and we finished within four. We haven't really been hammered, Frank, but one thing that would concern me is maybe our scoring power. Like, I think, just to, you know, satisfy my own curiosity, we're about a point worse per game this year than we were last year. Anything there that would bother you, or is it just...
Well, really trying to find, I suppose, some sense in the middle of the National Football League, it's a really hard thing to fathom or even source. I mean, Chris even talked about, you know, the Kerry game last year, and Jack O'Connor actually had a smugness that day in relaying, you know, how he'd kind of solved the Rubik's Cube. I would even maybe liken the Tyrone game this year to a wee bit like that there. We had, you know, a 15 that may well take to the field in Balbuffet, but there's a lot of round pegs and square holes. You know, we started with Neil in the full forward line, Michael Murphy was centre half forward, Mark McHugh was wing half back. You know, he had Martin McElhenney in the middle of the field. It'll be the same Donegal, but it won't be the same sort of template that they'll face on the day. And I think Jim would have been delighted leaving home with that there. As you say, the scoring thing may be a concern for us on the sidelines, but if we're going to be concerned about everything that's happened so far in the National League, we'd have a lot of worries. But as we said, we're hoping that Jim and Rory are keeping their cards close to their chest to May 26th. And I have a funny feeling, I mean, that's the way I see it at the minute, because the last, even a prudent or a competent junior B manager would have noticed after 10 minutes that the long ball into Michael Murphy wasn't working, especially when there's two or three men hanging of him. And, you know, you would have told maybe Michael to take a walk out the field and spend 10 minutes around the middle to see how things change. Jim and Rory seemed indifferent to it, and I think they watched Mayo. They were observant of what Mayo were doing as opposed to what we were maybe doing ourselves. And I think they're picking up nuggets here and there. And fingers crossed, once they get this Dublin game out of the way and we will secure our National Football League status, hopefully that there weekend that Donegal will go under the radar and we'll see the proper Donegal in a couple of weeks' time, Balbuffet.
Did I hear him right, Alan? And did Jim say at one point that it didn't really matter what division we were in?
He said that, yeah, quite a bit, but I think at the same time he'd obviously like to be in Division 1, but I think he'd really just, as we said earlier, he'd just trying to work out some mathematical formula to come 5th or 6th. I think it's no team has ever actually got relegated from Division 1 and won the All-Ireland the same year, which is an interesting enough stat. But if you're comparing 2012 and 2013, don't be thinking about Mayo and Croke Park or Kerry and Croke Park or Cork and Croke Park. This time last year, we came off a bad beating against Dublin, as you said. Michael Murphy attended the last game on crutches against Armagh. We had to win to stay up, and we managed it then. So that's what you compare it against. You compare it against late March. And I suppose that game last year too, we were also missing the likes of Neil McGee and Paddy McGrath didn't start, and Patrick McBurty was only a sub. So I think if you compare two this time last year, we're probably slightly ahead of there.
Yeah, no, that's all fair enough. I mean, it all kind of hinges on the last league game. If we beat Dublin and we stay up and then we go out and we beat Tyrone, well, hey, you know, I'm a happy camper again, you know. But no, I mean, it's just, I think the National Football League is a strange beast, and there's been some very strange results, not just from Donegal, but I think, Damien, looking at, you know, who we'll face on the 26th of May, I think we probably learned a wee bit about Tyrone that day, and I don't think, as Frank said, they learned too much about us.
Yeah, they obviously, you know, a little bit further on in their development, they were slicker, they were sharper, and again more up for it. Like, and we probably did learn a lot. And to be honest, you know, they were probably quite close to where they're going to be come championship time as well, maybe in their formation and so on. I wasn't hugely panicked leaving at the same time. Like, you know, I thought Tyrone were really up for it. They gave it a very good shot. They beat us. They could have beaten us by more. The 14-man thing, you know, losing Murphy was crucial, but yeah, it was important to them to do it. But they didn't terrify me. Like, I suppose the big thing that you'll take away from that game was the goalkeeper taking the free kicks, and that he's a decent goalkeeper, and they have a good option there now, and Devine's left the squad and so on. But yeah, I wouldn't have been too perturbed that day now over Tyrone's ability. We know about Stephen O'Neill, now knowing about him, been able to do something about him is two different things. And Sean Kavanagh obviously was probably he's certainly a lift to him. He wasn't hectic that day compared to some of the performances put in the rest of the league. But you know, he'll be in better shape again come May. But yeah, look, we've beaten Tyrone twice in 2 years in the championship. They've had the win over us now early in the league. And there's a score to be settled there. Some of the events on the field, some of the events off the field after it, like, you know, those will all be put into the little back book and will be used for additional motivation on the day. And, you know, I think we can give them a warm welcome to Balba Faye and hopefully get the win, send them home packing.
I mean, it was encouraging that day we managed to finish within spitting distance of them without probably playing at 100% and a man down for the second half. We still probably rely very heavily on Michael Murphy for our scores. He scored 13 points for Glensoley tonight in a Division 2 clash. Colin McFadden's form has been... it's not reflected on the scoreboard. I think he's playing quite well. He's working hard. He's been asked to do a lot, especially against Mayo. He was spending time at around half forward, and that's not really his game. And, you know, you want to see him closer to goal. And I think, you know, and we had some discussion about this beforehand, but his point from play against Mayo was his 4th point from play in the league, we think. That's kind of an indictment of where Donegal are at, probably.
Yeah, I think, I suppose, Colum's the type of player, you know, heavy pitches, and this time of year, it's not really his stage. You know, Colum's a player that, you know, we really see the best of. The sun's high in the sky, the pitches, you know, pitches are as they should be, you know. I think that's probably part to do with it as well, you know. And Colum came into 2013 with a bit of a hamstring injury, and I suppose while Donegal are playing catch-up with the rest of the country, Colum is maybe one of those players in the squad who's playing a bit of catch-up with his own peers, so... again, I wouldn't be particularly worried about Colum's form or Colum's scoring, but we do seem a bit overly reliant on Michael. And there is, I suppose, a worry that if we do lose Michael for a stage, you know, as we did against Tyrone, that we're a bit concerned where's the score's going to come from here.
And I suppose going back to Mayo, they were able to put 3 men on him or whatever, and you know, there was no one else to. When that happens, generally you have someone else who can step in and take over. I mean, Frank, me and you discussed this before, like, and I think Paddy McBurty was, I think he was dropped for the game against Kerry, I think, was he? He didn't start that day. He came back against Kerry and played very well, but we're still not seeing the scoring. I mean, he had chances against Mayo last weekend, just didn't convert them. And you know, you would like to see him chipping in with, you know, a few points here and there.
Definitely. I mean, I think his work rate and his general play against Mayo was pretty encouraging off the back of that under 21 game. But as we said, we'd all like to see Paddy chipping in with 4 or 5. But he's the kind of player at club level that can chalk up those 9 or 10 points in a game and be delighted if he could bring some of that scoring prowess into the championship in the summer. But just, I think Donegal as a team, they need to be operating at a certain level of fitness and dynamics, because as a collective, I think when we see them in championship, they move forward as one and they move backwards as one. And I think that breaks down maybe in the third quarter of their layout in league when they're not fit. because you're not going to see the likes of Paddy McGrath and Frank McGlynn overlap and to the opposition's 14 and then as quick as a day back towards their own 14 as well. I think that generally that fitness now and progression will pick up as we go build towards May 26th, and even just relying on Michael and Colum, I think Colum's the kind of player that peels off out around that system that Donegal plays so well in the Championship, and he gets the ball not handed to him but put onto his left as he peels in, and I think asking him maybe in the likes of January, February or March to win his own ball out in front of him when he maybe his fitness is a wee bit off, it'll not be a worry come Championship. And Michael as well, I don't think we rely on Michael as much in terms of individual scoring come Championship either, because I said that cohesive collectiveness, that everything has to be operating within that system and that template for Donegal to be the animal that they are in Championship, which is a totally different animal to what we see in the National Football League.
Right. Let's take some positives. Alan, the form of Rory Cavan, I think, has been outstanding. I mean, other than the Mayo game, where I think everyone was probably below par, Rory has been, I would say, between him, Leo McLoone and Eamon McGee for our player of the season so far.
Yeah, Rory and even, well, especially Rory, I think was very unlucky not to get an All-Star last year. Neil Gallagher's probably performance against Cork probably usurped the midfield award, and it's seldom you're going to get two All-Star centre fielders. So even if you look back at the games last year, Rory was captain and man of the match in the first game. He missed the Derry game. Himself and Ryan Bradley swung the Tyrone game, a bit quieter in the Ulster final. Man of the match in some of the papers after Kerry. Very good semi-final and final, and he's really just continued that form. I suppose Rory now, he's 30 and he realises maybe he's been in the panel, I think it's since 2002, so he's really matured into a fine footballer. He always maybe had the ability, and everyone knows that he's built himself up in that, but he works so tirelessly for the team, and he's maybe not a spectacular player in a lot of things he does. It's the sort of guy, when you watch him in the flesh, he does a lot of donkey work, and he's happy to do it, you know, for the sake of the team, as opposed to maybe for personal glory, which is probably something Jim has really put into the whole panel as such. So I think he's a vital cog, without doubt.
His high fielding has been very good as well. I think he's the pick of the, you know, he's got more high catches at midfield than anybody else for Donegal in the league to date. Like, so he's done very, very well for himself, like, you know.
And I think as well about Rory, I suppose he's maybe one of the most underrated players in terms of what he contributes. And if we look at Rory since he made his first Championship start in 2006, he's changed so much as a player, in a sense, like he was that sort of dynamic forward. And we remember that great goal he scored against Down, but he's now come in as, you know, one of the best midfielders in the country. Really, really unlucky to get not to get an All-Star last year. And looking at how he sort of maybe sacrificed that those pieces of glory that he could have had, where he's still playing in around on the 40 and stuff, I think, you know, he's one of the most important players in that team. And even watching him this evening for St Union, you know, those drives forwards and what his team gets off his general play is sometimes overlooked, maybe because we sort of look to the guy that's finishing off the move, but we maybe forget that a lot of the time Rory Cavan is at the hub of everything that we're doing going forward.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't be surprised that Leo and maybe and Rory have been going so well, because they probably are, in terms of athletic base, they're natural athletes, and I would say they weigh probably the same in December as they probably do weigh around June or July. Just, I suppose, Ryan Bradley was the other lad that we spoke about earlier, and maybe a wee bit concerned that maybe he isn't operating central at the moment for Donegal, because the kind of drive and, I suppose, the kind of physicality he brings to a game, we'll probably need that against Tyrone and the tight confines that we'll have in McCool Park, and the atmosphere there will probably be something that'll be pretty special as well. But it'll be like a cauldron, and the likes of a Ryan Bradley central, maybe along with a Neil Gallagher and a Rory Cavan, might be an option too, you know. We've often seen players start in corner forward and come out and play three across the middle, and I'd be more comfortable going out against Tyrone with Ryan Bradley more central as opposed to left or right of a centre half forward.
So speaking of being comfortable against Tyrone, we won a big victory during the week when it was announced that it would actually be McCool Park hosting the game on the 26th of May. Good thing, bad thing, indifferent, Damien?
Look, it's a thing that the clubs of the county have wanted. They, I suppose they've invested quite a lot of money in getting McCool Park up to the standard that the GA's Health and Safety Committee wanted. There's a capacity of just over 17,500 there under that Slattery report that's going to be there. So what it's going to mean is it's going to be an incredible shortage of tickets. Donegal's allocation is going to be significantly less than they got for the All-Ireland final last year. And obviously there's going to be no opportunity. There's an 82,000 capacity stadium there. Like, you know, there's going to be no opportunity to get tickets. There's going to be an awful lot of disappointed supporters there for it. We do get to play on home territory, which is nice, but you know, had the game been in Clonus, everyone that wanted to see it could have got to see it. There's going to be no concession tickets, there'll be no reductions for under-16s, for students, for pensioners. It's going to be the full whack of the whole way around the ground. Yeah, people can judge. I suppose if we win the game against Tyrone, it'll be deemed to be a success. But yeah, it's yeah, it comes with, I suppose it's a double-edged sword a wee bit. Like, but it was the objective of the clubs of the county through the county committee to do everything and to move heaven and earth to get the game in McCool Park, and they've managed to do that. So, you know, fair play to the people involved there. But you know, now the scramble for tickets starts.
Mm. Well, I certainly felt much safer there that day against Kerry. When some of the work had been completed. So it's not our record there, Chris, isn't exactly fantastic in the championship.
No, it's not, Kieran, and I suppose it's something maybe that was a bit of a myth that, you know, let's bring Tyrone into Fortress McCool Park. But if we look particularly in recent years, you know, we look at the likes of Antrim have come and beat us, and that was a very poor Antrim team, let's call a spade. Derry have beaten us there, Down have beaten us there. You know, it's not the fortress that maybe sometimes we portray it. Even in National League, before the arrival of Jim McGuinness, our home form was pretty poor, if we're being honest, at McCool Park. And I think maybe this week, you talked there, I suppose it was a victory of sorts, but maybe more so for Jim and the players that, as All-Ireland champions, haven't been drawn at home, that they do get to play in their home venue as they wished. Like, as Damien mentioned, the capacity is 17,520. I think at the last count during the week, the total membership in Donegal was rising to almost 15,000. So that alone will tell you how many disappointed people there would be. And funny, I was actually thinking during the week that if the game was at St Cernach's Park in Clonus, that there could be a bit of an issue with tickets, such as the, you know, there's so much talk about this game. There's the Donegal-Tyrone rivalry, and sort of everything happened at that National League game as well as maybe heightened interest even more. But I just think that when you're drawn at home, that if you have your ground to a level that it's safe, then you do deserve to have the game at home. And that's regardless if the capacity was the 12,000 it was or the 17. If you're drawn at home, you do deserve it. And, you know, for Balbuffet as a town as well, it's a massive boost, because, you know, business in the town is struggling. It's well documented, business closing everywhere. And it is, I suppose, a victory for the Twin Towns as well. And I suppose the hope is that we can put on a show, if you like, in terms of the logistics of the game. Like, there's going to be a big demand on the clubs of the county to provide stewards. I think maybe 120 to 150. So, you know, we must make sure that everything passes without incident in that sense, and that everything, that we actually show that we're capable of staging such a game.
Plenty of ticket scanners for the season ticket holders as well will be a big thing.
I was delighted with the news for the simple reason, I think Donegal and Tyrone, there's very little going to be between these sides, and the fact that we have home advantage now. I mean, whether McCool Park is a fortress or not, I think it's an absolute fortress, because I think this team should only be judged since day one, since Jim McGuinness came in, not anything that's gone before. And I think our record with Jim McGuinness and McCool Park is 100%, obviously. So in that sense, I'm delighted the game's in Balbuffet. In terms of tickets, there's people that are asking about tickets that probably haven't been at a Donegal game since the All-Ireland final. I mean, let's mention that there first and foremost, and that's a healthy number of people. I know plenty of them myself. Of course, there will be some people disappointed, but I mean, if we can get over this hurdle, there'll be other days out between now and hopefully an Ulster final. Whereas even contemplating the scenario of having to go through a back door after how spoilt we've been this last couple of years, it doesn't bear thinking about.
We were two from two against Tyrone and Clonus under Jim McGuinness.
Yeah, what I think on it is, even though the fact that we've been drawn at home, it's our game, and even though it's not great to win the battle, we didn't lose it. I even think there was so much emphasis being put into the game and trying to hold on to the game. I think Tyrone would have been even a step ahead had the game had been moved to Clonus. And you could even see, I think, that day in Omagh in Healy Park, there was a big atmosphere for it, and it'll be the same there. But I think they were pushing big time for Clonus just to get even the high ground before. And so in that respect, I'm very happy it's in Balbuffet as well.
Yeah, and I think just to move on from what Frank said about, I suppose, judging Donegal under Jim McGuinness, just as he was saying that, something struck me that, remember the night we got that late goal from Neil McGee to draw with Sligo in Jim's first competitive game in charge? It was actually one of the first things he said to us, that he wanted to turn Balbuffet into a fortress of sorts, and I suppose no better time to
That's actually
prove
the
that
only game
it.
He hasn't won, the Sligo game, the drawing game in the league.
So I suppose now there's no better time maybe to ram home the point that he has turned it back into a fortress than by beating Tyrone in May.
Yeah, no, there definitely seemed to be. It was striking to me in all the interviews that the Donegal players and management seems not just to reference the 26th of May, but the 26th of May in Balbuffet. Yeah. So there was almost a degree of subliminal messaging going on there, you know. So if it was a big thing, I'm happy they've won it, and I'm certainly looking forward to that day. You know, even though by and large I've had some pretty disappointing days in the championship in Balbuffet in the past, but this time it'll be different, no doubt.
That was the point Sean Dunyan actually made on Tuesday night after the decision came through, is that the players, Jim and Rory, really wanted this game to be in Balbuffet. And I suppose, I mean, they've wanted it and now they have it, and the people that will be lucky enough to be there, I think it'll be something special and something to behold.
Yeah.
And I think that actually only became maybe an issue because of the reduction in the capacity that, you know, that it lost 5,000, because, you know, Armagh played Tyrone last year in the Athletic Grounds and there was no talk about it. This year we looked Derry will play down in Celtic Park a week after we played Tyrone, but I think it was only because of the whole Slattery report thing last year, and then Donegal going on to win the All-Ireland, that there was a concern because Balbuffet could only hold 12,000. And, you know, if you look at the last 2 years, we've played in Ulster semi-finals and the crowd last year would be accommodated with the 17,500 in Balbuffet. So I think maybe it only became an issue when there was such a reduction and there was such urgency then to get the work up to scratch, you know.
Mm. Well, I think it only became an issue when we became All-Ireland champions. But
what Jim would say about this, I think, is although it's not ideal for everyone in terms of tickets, it gives his team a better chance of winning, and they can pursue their run in Ulster, play a semi-final, Clonus, say, against Derry or Down, whatever, then every man can get his ticket, man, woman, child. So,
yep, sure. Let's finish with two topics. One is just injuries in general. We're likely, I think, to be without Neil McGee next weekend. Paddy McGrath is carrying an injury. I think Neil Gallagher is carrying an injury. Mark McHugh played tonight, so I assume he's okay again, even though there was some doubt about why he was injured originally and what was wrong with him and so on. Anthony Thompson came back against Mayo, so we're okay, I think, in general. Well, obviously, Carr Lacey, I think Alan reported during the week there, he's returned training, which is a good thing. We're looking in reasonable shape, I would say, fitness-wise.
Yeah, I suppose reasonable. Carroll returned to training, but he's probably not going to play against Dublin, I think, in all likelihood. So it'll be what we have. I suppose the real thing will be who will fill in at fullback. As we said earlier, Eamon probably will. You might see probably Frank McLinn dropping back then into the fullback line alongside Paddy McGrath, who's done very well considering he's carrying an injury. I suppose it's only going to be one more game, and then hopefully we'll get the right result. Then we have championship season, and that's when the real work is going to be done. Hopefully those niggling injuries will have cleared by then.
Yeah, and let's close on what was a great win for under-21s 2 weeks ago against Tyrone. I think that was a bit of a surprise, and I don't think anybody in what we'd seen the McKenna Cup really necessarily expected much. Now, having said that, I mean, the likes of Marty O'Reilly, Paddy McBurtie, didn't play in the McKenna Cup games, so, you know, they were back. I mean, when you saw a full strength under 21 team, it looks formidable enough in places. And now they take on Derry on Wednesday night back in Omagh, so it'd be great to see them getting a run going.
Yeah, but I think they took everyone by surprise, including a lot of Donegal people, and I'll include myself in that bracket as well. But what I found striking about them was the Sunday evening before it, I did a preview with Maxi, and the enthusiasm and the sort of positivity that he was giving off was, it struck me as a manager who was really, really confident in his players going to Omagh, and it wasn't a put-on confidence, you know, and he wasn't trying to spin the positive yarn about it. Like, there was genuine optimism there that he could go and beat Tyrone. And I think Maxi and Francie Friel and Barney and all the backroom team, the work they've put in with this team is absolutely phenomenal. You know, they've been on the go now for quite a few months. They've played several challenge games with a few notable results, you know, and to take the scalp of Tyrone and Omagh for them was a huge boost. But you talk about McKenna Cup, and I suppose we didn't see Marty O'Reilly or Paddy McBurtie. They're two marquee players. Ryan McHugh didn't feature too much McKenna Cup either, and their performances last 2 weeks ago, against Tyrone were phenomenal. Paddy, it was the first time in quite a while in a Donegal jersey that he's been prolific. Scored 7 points, and the driving forward of Marty O'Reilly from centre back, of Ryan McHugh, of Owen McHugh, and, you know, what was also noticeable though was the lesser known players, and quite a few very, very encouraging performances there. If, you know, we're, I suppose, here to primarily talk about the senior team, but, you know, in years to come, there are players there that, and names there that, that we can keep an eye on. And the hope now for Maxi and the boys is that they go out on Wednesday night and can do the job against Derry. And, you know, for a county like Donegal to be successful at under 21 level, and, you know, we had the success at Jim, and we see now, like Frank talked about it, about the graduation of players earlier on from that Dublin team that beat us in the final. And if we look at our team now, you know, some of our most pivotal players are arising out of that under 21 team. So if we could get another crop of that level, or even anything close to it, you know, wouldn't it be great? And wouldn't it be great, you know, as a county, if we were coming into our own championship on the back of maybe winning an Ulster under 21 championship, or even at least a final appearance in a year that, look at, I mean, let's call a spade here, no one gave us a chance against Tyrone, and we were comfortable. We were very, very comfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, only for a goal in the dying minutes of the first half, we would probably have had the game won at half time, and the goal probably put a little gloss on it for Tyrone. And, you know, it's certainly a very, very encouraging night for Donegal football, and best of luck to the boys on Wednesday.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the game is in Omagh. It's within easy reach of a lot of the counties, so it'll be great to see a crowd get out there. It was great to see the All-County League back tonight, and, you know, we shouldn't forget about the underage teams and indeed the club teams when we talk about Donegal. I mean, to all those who are maybe disappointed not getting McCool Park, get out and support your clubs. I mean, there's plenty of football to be seen around the county if you're interested.
And there'll be plenty of room in McCool Park for the visit of Dublin as well, so get yourself along to the match.
Indeed. I mean, look, that's one thing that, you know, if we could get 10, 12,000 there for that game, it would certainly help the lads on in what'll be a vital game, and I suspect will be a very tough game. Okay, well, that's it for us folks this week. The next time we talk, hopefully we'll still be in Division 1, and we'll be looking forward with even more expectation at that stage to the clash against Tyrone on the 26th of May. Talk to you again soon.
Thanks for listening to Football Special.